Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, June 19th. So you plow through another month on a bad day for the market.
You know, it was a lot worse earlier on. It seemed to get a little bit better as the day went on. Everybody was, it almost looked like it was going to go positive. Small caps were again doing pretty well. NASDAQ got hammered. And it's all because of
the tariffs.
The tariffs.
Yeah.
The tariffs.
Because they don't know what's going on.
Well, what happened was that, you know, on Friday, as expected, Trump decided that, you know what, we're going to definitely implement these tariffs, $50 billion of tariffs in total on China. And China comes back and says, okay, we told you that if you do that, we're going to just hit you back with another, you know, equal and reciprocal tariff. So they did. And if this was a poker game, you ever watch poker on TV?
I watch poker. I play poker.
Yeah. So this is the equivalent of either one of two things. So it was a $50 billion bet. It was a $50 billion call, and it was either a four bet or an all-in shove. What do you think about that analogy?
It's, you know, people have said that. I think Blankenfein kind of indicated that.
Well, he got that from me.
But, you know, we don't know.
Well, I mean, it seems to me that this is an over-the-top move to try to really spook China. What you did, the markets in China and Hong Kong, Shanghai, Shenzhen were all down, you know, multiple percent on the news. Asia was pretty shaken up on this whole thing. And our markets start out down pretty well. I think we hit as low as about 1.1% to the downside, finished less than 0.5% down for the day. Not terrible. But I think there's still a lot of posturing going on and thinking that this is just the art of the deal continuing.
Could be.
You know, twist some arms. And if they don't give us at least that, well, they'll be like, okay, we'll come back and we'll give you this, which is a much, much larger concession that may have been if they didn't do anything. If you just, you know, talked it up versus trying to press them on it.
Could be. Well, the difference is, of course, that we had, Trump says, well, if they do anything, we're going to tariff $200 billion worth of stuff. And of course, China said, well, we'll do something today. We'll do another $200 billion. The problem with the China has is that they only receive $130 billion worth of our goods versus the, what, $130 billion worth of our goods versus us receiving $400 to $600 billion worth of theirs.
Yeah.
There's a definite inequity. So Trump's got the upper hand if he wants to go this way.
He does. But the question is going to be, you know, what is that going to end up costing us? It's going to cost consumers something. The reason why we get so much in the way of goods from China is because we like the cheaper items. They make it at a much more affordable rate. This is something that we've created.
No, it's our monster. And it's now like we're a Frankenstein monster.
Yeah, and we're trying to tame it. What was that movie? With Gene Wilder, Young Frankenstein?
Yeah, Young Frankenstein.
Great movie. Oh, by the way, I'm back from the Keys. I took the boat over to the Bahamas this weekend.
That boat will go to the Bahamas?
Yes, sir.
It's just a little four-man boat, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a 35-footer.
Oh, I didn't know it was that big.
Yeah, 35-footer. There's five guys on it. We took it over to West End, Bahamas, which is the tip of Grand Bahama Island, where Freeport is, and Grand Lucaya.
You have to bring your passports?
You have to bring it's a whole rigmarole. So when we go over there, when we're 3 miles out, we have to put up the United States flag and we have to put up a yellow quarantine flag. And then when we get there, we have the first stop we make when we get to the Bahamas is a check-in area, like a, you know, customs and immigration area in an airport. So we go over and only one person is allowed off the boat. So we hand him a portable VHF and all of our passports that we fill out prior. And all the, you know, documents for immigration and all. And he goes into a room and disappears for about an hour because they're not the fastest over there doing things. And then he comes back in and we're all cleared. And then we have to take down the quarantine flag and put up the Bahamian flag. And then we're good to go. All weekend, we have to have that up and carry our stuff around with us, our papers. On the way back, when we get about 3 miles out, we're supposed to, it used to be a different rule. You'd have to go and check in with the customs immigration office and all that. Then they have something called a boater's option card, which I got. Go through, it's like a global entry, where I just have to call and say, hey, I'm coming in. They check me out and they say, okay, you're clear. Now they have an app here in the U.S. So when we come back, one person has an app, adds all the information about everybody's passports, all the information, and they clear you through the app automatically. And they could even come back and do like a FaceTime video to make sure you look like what your passport looks like while you're on the boat. And then you just get a message back that you've been cleared. Pretty intense process.
That's at least it sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
Except for the hour wait for the one guy.
Yeah. We had some conch salad and hung out and had some beers, though. We caught some great fish, caught some tuna, and caught some yellow-eye snappers, schoolmasters, a bunch of yellowtail, some other miscellaneous fish here and there. Saw some cool, I don't know if you saw my Twitter video with the dolphins that were circling the boat, which is very bad for fishing, but fun to watch. They're just jumping out of the water and doing all sorts of tricks and, you know, following the boat in the front of the boat and playing with us. Got a lot of conch, went down and found a really good spot to grab conch. We got like 14 conch.
Nice.
And I got a picture of it on the site there, all our conch. So I made a conch salad. I made some cracked conch. That was a lot of fun. And before this, I just want to say one other thing. I just left a minute ago. I just left and came over here, an amazing 17-course dinner that was hosted by TradeStation.
Is this with that food club you belong to?
Well, they know I'm friends with a lot of the management of TradeStation. They know I do the food club. They had all their VIPs from around the world fly in, like 30 of them, plus management of TradeStation. The president was there. The VP was there. All these guys. They called me up. They're like, where should we go for a really cool dinner with all these people? I said, well, I got a place. It happens to be a stone throw. When I say stone throw, it's 30 paces from my office. I said, they will do some job for you. So they served this. They had 17 dishes with wine pairings. Started out with hamachi with a shishito ginger, jalapeno scallions, wasabi tobiko. Then they had ricotta toast with truffle ricottas and all these surprise dishes. Then they had another one with a lobster toast and unbelievable, these ribs that they slow cooked for hours. Then they had Wagyu burger sliders, and it just went on and on. But I'm like, I have to go. I have a podcast. So I missed like 3 dishes.
I don't know if you needed the calories.
No, they were smaller portions though. Some good wines and all that. But thank you, TradeStation. That was a lot of fun. You need to do one of these with me. You'd enjoy this.
Yeah,
we got to do one. We got to figure
definitely.
That out. So let me give you a quick market update here, and some very fascinating things that have happened in the last, I don't know, 4 hours. So markets ended mixed last week. Some concerns over the tariffs at the end of the week. We saw that the NASDAQ, though, was up 1.5%. Again, we're getting a lot of action on the large caps, the Facebooks, the Microsofts, the Netflix, you know, all those. Dow Jones Industrial Average was down. The S&P 500 was flat. Today, well, we'll get to that in a second. I'm not going to talk about that because I have a little test for you. I'm not going to mention that. But just in today, big news. GE was ousted from the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
Yeah, that's pretty extreme.
Yep. You don't like it.
What qualification did they not meet?
I'm sure maybe it was probably price, because now their price is at, what, $12.80?
Well, you can be on the, there's Dow Jones. Dow Jones. I'm thinking of New York Stock Exchange.
No, you could be on it. It's legal to be on it, but it doesn't have enough price movement to actually move the needle on the Dow Jones, because the Dow Jones is a price weighted.
Yeah.
So they moved in. Walgreens Boots is in.
Huh.
One of your favorites.
Yeah, it is.
But that was pretty severe. I mean, now what happens is, on top of all these funds having to sell GE because the stock sucks, on top of that, they're going to be forced to sell. Anybody that follows any kind of a Dogs of the Dow or a Dow Jones Industrial ETF has to sell out of that. So there's going to be a forced selling of GE over the next several days.
which is not going to help its price.
No, no, definitely not. Some other news, Trim Taz. Global equity funds have shed $6.8 billion this month through Friday. So this is global equity funds, more the ex-US, putting them on track for the highest monthly outflows since at least September 2016. So it got me to thinking, let's see how the global markets individually are doing as compared to the S&P 500. Because you and I talked about this several times at the beginning of last year, everybody was about the international markets, the emerging markets. They were all over that. This is the place to be. You got to be there. It's our best idea. So I said, okay, let me take a look at this today. So what I did was I said, okay, let's take the S&P 500 and simply subtract the performance of the S&P 500 for various markets, and let's see how all these other markets stacked up, right? So we have a chart here over on DH Unplugged, episode number 412. And it shows you the relative performance or comparative returns versus the S&P 500 ETF on a year-to-date basis through today for all these different countries. How does that look, huh?
Am I clicking on global markets?
Yeah. There's a chart there.
Well, that's interesting. Yes. Hmm. Well, that doesn't look like a promising investment strategy then.
So the worst is Turkey, down on a relative basis, 36%.
Yeah.
Brazil
is down.
Everything's
down. There's not one thing up.
This reminds me of a few years ago when the U.S. was up and everything else was down. So if you were in any kind of a diversified asset allocation portfolio of any sort, and you were doing a comparison or a benchmarking to the S&P 500, you were a loser. Whereas the next year, asset allocation came back pretty strong because it was a broad-based move, and there was, you know, bonds were doing well and, you know, commodities were doing well. But this year, you look down the list, and if you were not in the U.S., you're getting hammered.
Apparently.
I mean, Germany's down 7% compared to the S&P. Sweden's down 8.5. Mexico down 12.5. India down 12%. The emerging markets ETF itself, which is a conglomeration of all the various emerging markets, is down 9.6%. I mean, that's a lot. And Turkey down 36% is like a market crash.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe it's the time to start looking at Turkey again.
Yeah, it could be. So some of the reasons is that we're seeing that the Fed has been continuing their interest rate hiking regime. And what that's doing is it's causing problems for emerging markets. So they did increase the interest rates last week on, I think it was Wednesday. I got to tell you something. Jerome Powell, this was his first, I believe this was his maybe first or second, but he had the news conference afterwards. He was really good. I thought he was, first of all, he was standing.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw this.
He was great.
He's very, well, after what we've had before.
Yeah.
You know, Bernanke, who didn't like to talk to anybody, and then you had a Yellen who sounded like a duck. This guy had to be an improvement.
He was standing up, not just sitting down like Yellen at a desk.
Yeah, he seemed he was professorial.
Yeah, and he even said, I want to explain this in layman's terms for everybody to understand versus the old, you know, going back as far as, well, Bernanke to an extent, but Greenspan to a whole different degree.
The worst.
Yeah, which he would just, you know, deliberately confound and confuse.
Yeah.
Whereas Powell stood up and said, I want to explain this in very easy to understand what's happening, so everybody has a very clear understanding of what's going on. I was like, wow, when's the last time you heard something like that?
Never.
Never. So they did raise their dot plot projection. This is not layman's terms. It's just their outward look of what all the different Fed Reserve believe there is going to be for the outlook for their rates in the future. So interest rates, they said, was going to be increasing through 2018, a total of 4 on average versus 3. So that was kind of interesting. The benchmark median rate is going to be at 2.4% by the end of the year, peaking out at 3.4% by 2020, which is still pretty low.
Yeah.
So markets were like, they liked it, they didn't like it, they liked it, they didn't like it. You know, interest rates shot up again a little bit. But still, people are thinking that, you know what, it's okay. Don't get
this. Well, it's definitely not the hyperinflation that a whole slew of people were predicting a few years back.
Well, there's no inflation. I mean, really, I mean, it's approaching 2%, but that's like, with the amount of jobs we have, you would think that we should have a tad more than that.
You'd think.
With the fact that we have more money in paychecks due to the tax cuts, you would think that there'd be some signs of prices increasing. We're just unable to do it. And, there's a whole host of possible reasons why that is. It's a lot of it has to do with, the shopping habits, I think, of this generation, generations, where they, the comparison price shop.
Well, a lot of comparison price shopping, which makes a huge difference. I know the baby boomers, they tend to, they've already bought whatever they're going to buy. They got their cars, they got their houses, they got their property, they got their rental hut, they got everything. And that, what are they going to buy? There's nothing to buy except replenish their clothes once in a while. And from the looks of it, if you go outside, you don't see that often. So that took a big chunk out of the whole buying pressure.
Well, not only that, we have all these discount stores. You look like a Ross. So what happens? Ross has clothing that may be originally at, possibly a Neiman Marcus or possibly a Macy's, possibly a Nordstrom's, that is maybe a little bit older in style that these places need to get rid of. So instead of only having the place to buy it, which would be, let's say, the big box retailers and at the malls, you could buy these things at off-price secondary stores for much cheaper. People know that.
So, yeah, but that's nothing new.
It's not
new. That was going on in the 60s with places like Mervyn's and some of these other operations. I don't think that's a change.
You don't think that's a change?
No, I don't really.
Hmm. Well, something's different.
Amazon's a change. And comparison pricing to this extreme is a change. I don't think just bargain hunting is really much of a change.
Yeah, because I go. That's another thing. A lot of places say they'll price match. So I'll go somewhere and I'll buy something, particularly like an Office Depot, and I'll pull up, let's say, ink. That's one that I do all the time. So if I need ink, I used to definitely buy it from Amazon. There's a couple times I needed ink. So I went to Office Depot. I'm just picking a price. Let's say it's $38 for this cartridge. Amazon has it for $32. I say to Office Depot, look at the price.
They have to get it cheaper.
Yeah. So, you definitely don't have any way to inflate prices if there's all these very easy methods and avenues to get the prices lower. So there's a lot of other things too, the velocity of money, and still the fact that, like you said, people pretty much have what they need at this point. And so many people living at home.
A large group of people do, and then you have the kids, the younger, the millennials, and even maybe even a little older, that are so burdened with student debt, they can't buy anything.
That's a big problem. Debt is the big...
almost $1 trillion.
Yeah, debt is a very big obstacle for growth of an economy or price appreciation. So if you have debt in the hands of students where they're unable to spend on a discretionary basis, that's how you get price increase, right? It's discretionary spending.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't do it. So
no. Yep. No, so that's puts a crimp on things.
Yep. Let's see what else we got. I got some other things in here. CEO of Volkswagen's luxury brand Audi was arrested in connection with an investigation of his role in the German car maker's diesel emission cheating scandal. So you can't send bankers.
Hey, we're finally arresting some CEOs out there.
Yeah, you can't arrest a banker or a bankster, as some people say.
No, bankers don't get arrested.
No, but if you do something bad, like have a little emissions thing and cause some problems to the environment, you're gonna have So somebody had to be the scapegoat. So this guy's going to jail. This is an interesting story that I think you'll be interested in. So we've been tracking how some of these companies like a Procter & Gamble have been cutting back on targeted advertising through social media. They've cut their spend dramatically. Not that that has caused any disruption to the price of Facebook, but that's another story. Now, Unilever, which makes Dove shampoo and Hellman's mayonnaise, which some people use as a conditioner. Ever see anybody use mayonnaise in their hair as a conditioner?
I've never heard. I think you're just making that up. No,
I've seen it. I've totally seen it. It's an oil.
Yeah, and some egg in it.
Yeah. But anyway, Unilever is expected to call for greater transparency in the often murky world of influencer marketing. So influencer marketing is the practice that involves paying people with large social media followings to promote a product or a service. And this has been a thing that's been growing, you know, over the last several years. Yeah.
With certain bloggers and people with a lot of followers on Facebook and Twitter.
Right. However,
usually celebrities.
Well, celebrities, yes, but there's been some self-created celebrities through, you know, people that have Instagram accounts that take, you know, whatever pictures they're taking.
I know. There's a bunch of them. There's a slew of them.
Right. So, however, now the sector has lost some of its luster, its sheen, after numerous reports surfaces about fraud that exists in the business from influencers that buy followers to influence. Followers to the influencers using bots to make it look as though there's more people engaging with their posts.
Yeah, you do that with you can do that with YouTube too, and you can create these bots to make it look like your video is a lot more popular than it is.
Yeah, so all this scamming is going on because they know that the advertiser just almost you know, they're at a level that they're salivating.
Well, a lot of the advertisers are just naive and stupid.
Yeah.
And so they're just taking advantage of it.
So the question I have is this influencer market. What's the difference between that and the old line celebrity endorsements? You know,
I think it's more subtle. I think the influencer market, I think the way it's supposed to be dealt with is that they, holy crap, I just discovered, you know, it's fake. It's not
like native,
you know,
native.
It's like it's closer to a native ad than it is a celebrity endorsement.
Yeah, because a celebrity
We know that LeBron James doesn't drive a Kia.
Right. Or who's that other guy? Charles Barkley gets into like a, you know, two-door little car, says, yeah, I can fit. Look at all the room here.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah. So anyway, this seems to be this whole, you know, uproar in the influencer marketplace. I mean, anytime you have, you know, anything involved in the internet where you can fake out the numbers. And this is a problem which I think you and Curry have. No Agenda Show, Thursdays and Sundays, each and every week at 12 p.m. in the afternoon. This is something that you have about the count, the podcast download listener count thing.
Yeah, we discuss this on the show.
There's no way to quantify it.
Not really. There's no real way to tell how many people listen. You can get some ideas from the downloads, and the number of terabytes is a huge number of terabytes that get chewed up. But you know, still don't know. Some of them are automated, and some of them are, you don't know. And then there's stuff that goes out on the BitTorrent networks. And so once that happens, you have no idea how many people. You could have a million listeners through a BitTorrent system. There's a bunch of them that you can use. And they wouldn't add up to but 10 listeners. In fact, it would be, 100,000. It's impossible. There's nothing that anyone can do. They've tried and tried and tried.
And then you have the other side where you have potential downloads that are automatic through like an app where they're subscribed to your podcast, they're downloading, but they never listened.
Right.
So,
which I think is a bigger problem.
Yeah. On to the cryptocurrency world. The Bank of International Settlements, BIS, just told the cryptocurrency world it's not ready for prime time. And far as mainstream financial services go, may never be. So they put out a 24-page article on Sunday as part of its annual economic report that they do. They said Bitcoin and its ilk So you have to see how the Bitcoin and its ilk suffered from a range of shortcomings that would prevent cryptocurrencies from ever fulfilling the lofty expectations that prompted an explosion of interest and investment in the world's asset class. They said, I quote, "Trust can evaporate at any time because of the fragility of the decentralized consensus through which transactions are recorded. Not only does this call into question the finality of individual payments, it also means that a cryptocurrency can simply stop functioning, resulting in a complete loss of value." This is the Bank of International Settlements who probably gets paid for transactions.
Ah, yes, probably they do. But this is not the kind of thing cryptocurrency nutballs want to hear.
No, not at all. Especially after a recent hack.
Yeah, the hacks don't help.
So now you have this going on. And several, we saw also last week that the SEC determined that Ethereum and Bitcoin are not securities. We knew that Bitcoin was probably going to be classified as not a security, but Ethereum was a surprise. It ran up for a day and came back down. They're still hurting pretty badly, all these coins.
Yeah.
Yep. But you could possibly use your coins.
The fad is over.
The fad is over. Possibly use your coins to maybe one day go to space. And then if there is a lot of space travel and if there is a lot of things going on up there, you know you need some policing up there. So President Trump is calling for a new space force to be added to the U.S. military as an armed service separate from the Pentagon's five traditional uniformed branches.
Yeah.
So he said, when it comes to defending America, it's not enough to merely have an American presence in space, he said. We must have an American dominance in space. I am certain that several of the countries are not thrilled with that statement.
Probably not.
Do you think we need to have a space force?
It depends on whether you believe in an eventual attack by aliens from other dimensions or not.
Ah. So if we don't have one, if we're not ready, we'll never be ready. So we might as well get ready just in case.
You could, yeah. The rationale for this is that apparently ever since China blew up one of their own satellites with an anti-satellite missile system, we've been freaked out because you could do a lot of damage by taking out a lot of these satellites, especially the GPS ones.
We'll see what happens with that.
I mean, look what happened at the Charleston airport when the computer went down.
Yeah, and a lot of, if it's there to protect space, the concept of space, I mean, a lot of the things that we do revolve around, I mean, global satellite positioning, that's a big issue. All of our maps, all of our, you know, places to go, communications, there's a lot of things that need to be technically protected up there.
Yep.
So, interesting timing. We had Elon Musk coming out with a statement, actually an email that he sent to his employees on Monday about a factory fire that he seemed to reference sabotage.
Oh, please.
He CNBC has learned that Musk also sent an email to all employees at Tesla late on Sunday night alleging that he discovered a saboteur in the company's ranks. Musk said that the person has conducted quite extensive and damaging sabotage to the company's operations, including by changing code to an internal product and exporting data to outsiders. Now, I find this fascinating because it's kind of weird how much weird stuff is going on with Musk and the whole Tesla thing. You know, first he comes out with that weird conference call where he blew everybody off. Then he says that shorts are going to be totally just ripped within 2 to 3 weeks. He buys shares of the company to make sure that he shows his support. He lays off 9,000 people. He says that they're going to be cash flow positive at the next reporting period. And that, which is why the 9,000 were laid off. And also he says that they're going to meet their quota of 5,000 cars per month off the production line by June or by the end of June. Now, He only has about 3,500 he's able to really push out of the production line right now. So I'm wondering, here comes a great baseline excuse.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's exactly what it has to be.
Yeah. We didn't make our 5,000 because some saboteurs, those people that were...
Well, why doesn't he name this guy and call the FBI and let's get to the bottom of it?
It's very weird. And then there was a fire. There's another fire. There was it just seems to be just weird stuff going on. Then there's employees that are saying that they're put under very strenuous conditions to work. And it's just, the whole thing is just, it's almost surreal. Yeah. This entire thing going on with him.
Well.
Unless
how long has that company been in business? They never turned a profit ever? No, over 10 years now?
No, they have like a $2 billion, I think, is it quarterly spend? They have negative cash flow, about $2 billion. Yeah. And if that's not enough, the weirdness going on there, though there's been some interesting things coming out of moviegoers that have seen the Disney's movie Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
It seems that if you go to see if you go now, you might notice some health-related warning signs that are posted regarding the film.
Oh, right, because they have a bunch of flashing.
They have a bunch of flashing stuff, and people have, like, they got into an epileptic episode.
Right.
And people have photosensitivities. So the people are, like, freaking out that they're sitting through this little movie, and people are starting to, like, cramp up, I guess. Bad news. Apple, U.S. Supreme Court on Monday agreed to take up Apple's bid to escape a lawsuit accusing it of breaking federal antitrust laws by monopolizing the market for iPhone software applications and causing consumers to pay more than they should. I mean, it's got a point there, right? The only place you could really install an app from on an iPhone with ease, or most people couldn't do it otherwise, is through the App Store, which is kind of a monopolistic ecosystem. Which is the whole point, yes, what everybody likes.
Government's always been against this sort of vertical integration. So what happened to the movie industry at one point where they owned the production company, they owned the distribution company, and they owned the theater. And they said, no, you can't do that. And Apple's kind of like they own it. Well, they don't own Foxconn, but they own everything else.
I'm sure they have a big investment in Foxconn.
I would hope.
Yeah. So they're going to see what happens if they can open this up back to an antitrust. More on Apple, though. They've also engaged and signed a multi-year deal with Oprah Winfrey to create programming as part of the company's push into original entertainment.
There's a disaster waiting to happen.
I mean, she's good. She's a good actress. I think she's a good actress. At least,
she's a good actor. But what is she, as a personality, can make nothing but money. But I don't see any evidence. She's had these two. She had Oxygen, which was a cable channel. It's not done anything. She had OWN, O-W-N, which was another cable channel. Never did anything. She has a magazine, which has never done anything. I mean, it seems to me, that she's not.
However, she did make about $400 million on her investment in Weight Watchers. That was smart. Oh, that was smart.
That was a blunder on our part.
Yeah, blunder on our part, but brilliant on hers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she's good at everything, but I don't see where she's has the right chops to be into producing original entertainment that would be appealing.
Yeah. Here's something I found today or yesterday. I was reading this article about Microsoft. They're working on technology that would eliminate cashiers and checkout lines. They're going to go against Amazon through the, for the automated grocery.
Yeah.
But I found this to be oddly written. So let me just kind of go through this with you. There's a couple of areas that are highlighted in bold. Do you see that?
Yeah.
So they say that Microsoft is working on technology that would eliminate cashiers and checkout lines from stores in a challenge to Amazon.com's automated grocery shop. Six people familiar with the matter told Reuters. Six people. Not five, not... One people, not just people, six. The Redmond, Washington-based giant is developing a system to track what shoppers add to the carts, the people say. Then they say Microsoft has shown sample technology to retailers from around the world and has had talks with Walmart about a potential collaboration. Three of the people said. What's that about?
I have no idea. I've never seen anything like that. I know there's a lot of criticism of the wire services, and then some of the big newspapers were never naming names and using these anonymous sources, but I've never seen anything like this. This is fascinating.
I mean, is it trying to really hammer home that they spoke to somebody? That it just isn't just, you know, some random...
We're not just making it up.
Yeah, six people said. Anyway. All right, we have a quick game tonight called Stump John, Stump JCP, JCD. I can't even get my name, my initials right. Stump JCD. You ready?
Okay.
So click on that and it says, what stock is this?
Let me go back to the thing. What stock? So I click on this and I get a stock that shot up like a rock. Oh, this is, didn't we talk about this on the show before?
Maybe, possibly. This is a chart. Let me tell you everybody what this is. This is a chart that starts back before, it starts about 12 years ago or so. 15 years ago. And is it 15 years? Let me think about that. 12, I think it's 15 years. Anyway, it's a percent change chart.
37,000% gain.
Yeah.
And it's not an ETF.
No, it's a stock.
It's not it's a company.
Yeah. You can ask me two questions. Two questions you're allowed to ask me.
Is it on the New York Stock Exchange?
No.
Is it a tech company?
That's an interesting question. I'll go yes.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. I mean, I know what the stock is, but let me just say it needs a qualifier. It straddles technology in another sector.
What other sector?
I guess it would be... technology. It would be... What would be the other one? Consumer discretionary.
Huh. Can I ask one more question? Bonus.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the symbol?
You want the symbol? Ask me one more question. You can ask me one more question.
Is it in the durable goods sector?
No.
Oh, I give up.
All right, I'll give you one more clue. It's also in the media sector, I guess.
Fox?
No, this is Netflix.
Oh.
37,406%.
I think it's time for that thing to come falling down.
And
this is a ridiculous chart when you look at it. All you have to do is invest like
$10. You know, $10.
Well, imagine investing $1,000 back in 2010.
Yep. That'd be pretty good. Pretty impressive chart. Anyway, if you are loving the show or hating the show or needing to find out more about what we do, you want to listen to us. If you want to listen to us in the future, because one of the things that we have is needs. We're very needy. And to be honest with you, a little light from everybody out there, cheapskates out there on the donations the last couple of weeks. I got to tell you the truth. We do things in games. We have limericks.
We need to get us some sponsors.
Well, I could probably get one or two. I had some on the Disciplined Investor recently.
How about the TD Ameritrade?
We could possibly get them. Or maybe TradeStation. Yeah. We did mention them tonight for no pay. But please do me a favor. Seriously, if you've never given before, there's two ways to do this. Number one of the shirts that we give away for the Close to the Pin competition.
This is an investment.
Yeah, that's true. We will sign. We will send you a... the shirt in your size, and we'll put the show number on it, and it's the cost of the show, $412. And think about that for a second. The entertainment value you've probably gotten for years on the show, and you're thinking, $412 for a shirt? It's not $412 for the shirt. It's you get the shirt, and it's a bonus. For those people who have gotten it, they're loving it. They love it. So if you could give that, we will send you a shirt. Just go over to DH Unplugged, click on the donation link. Or if you want to give $25 or $50, $100, $200, we really could use it right now, especially because we have the renewal coming up for the servers. We have probably a new batch of shirts we need to buy for the game. And there's a whole bunch of other things we've do some programming that we're doing as well. So we have a pretty much a zero budget line and we need some help. So please, if you're listening and you're like thinking I'll do it later, don't stop the button right now. Go over to the donate button right this second. If you're listening live, just go over, give a few bucks. We really appreciate it. And with that,
I concur.
All right, we have some Fed limericks today. We have well, if there's a gaggle of geese and a flock of birds, what would be several limericks? A lash of limericks?
I'm still stunned by that chart. Okay, I'm ready.
All right, so we have
we got a lot of limericks today. We got one, two, three, four, five.
But one of them is so let me set this up. DJ Fuji, which I don't know if his name is DJ, like as in, you know, Donald James, or if he's a DJ. I don't know. But if he's DJ Fuji, that's a good name for a DJ.
It is a good name for a DJ.
He sent one in.
I see what he's got. What he's doing. He sent us a reading accent annotation.
Do you think you could do this? Because I don't know if I could do it with his accents. You know, with his stress points.
I can try. Greenspan, he looks like a turtle. Bernanke, perhaps he's infertile. And Yellen to Jingle looks like Miss Kris Kringle. And Powell might fancy the Goebbels. Oh, gerbils. Yeah. Sorry. Well, I went all the way through and then I blew the end of the line, the gerbils.
Yeah.
I think that's the best I could do on that read.
All right. You want to grade it?
I don't get the joke. I mean, unless there's some sort of homosexual angle there.
Yeah, that's a gerbils.
I'll give him a C+.
Oh, boy. All right. Next one's from Chris McCoy. The Fed is making us broke. It robs from the meekest of folk. Ron Paul, we should follow. A red pill to swallow. He makes the sleeping get woke.
Well, that's kind of slick. I liked it. It was good. I think it was well structured. Short. I'll give him a B. A B.
Okay. Now we have a resubmission in from Simon Davies.
This is where we complained about, complained about Davies, not... Doing the right job. Okay.
So he gave us two different versions of it. I guess he didn't want to get really screwed by this. So we could read both of them, whatever. Here we go.
Yeah, read both of them.
The U.S. Federal Reserve takes credit it doesn't deserve with quantitative easing and rate hike teasing and a Lehman crash as an hors d'oeuvre.
Lehman crash. It's kind of a backwards. It's a reference. It's kind of old, dated reference. We call that. I'm not that fond of that one.
Hold off the grading because I'll read the other one.
Yeah. Okay, number two.
The U.S. Federal Reserve focuses on the yield curve with quantitative easing and rate hike teasing. Now give me the A I deserve.
That's a good one. I'll give him an A.
There you go. This is Simon Davies gets an A. If you sent any in, which I missed, we'll probably get to it next week. There was several of these, or just send it back to me. So we have the close to the pin, which you did not give me. You're a bad boy. You did not give me.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
And up until the last minute of the day, I have been 2 cents off on my prediction.
And then what?
That's all. I'm not winning the shirt, so whatever.
You nailed it.
Yeah, but we'll see what happens. It's plenty of time to go till Friday. All right, impressive quality. Now, we don't have this here, but you do over there. In-N-Out Burgers.
Mm-hmm. West Coast.
They closed its Texas restaurants following a problem with the quality of its buns.
Mm.
Is that a big issue, their buns?
It's not like they're the best buns in the world that I've ever had on a burger. Mm. But... In-N-Out Burger has they're very stringent with the way they want those burgers to be.
Yeah.
And the buns are good buns. They're not great buns, but I can see them having a problem with their buns and not and having to close shops. They couldn't get the baker to do them right. I have no idea. It doesn't seem like it's that hard, but maybe they're too expensive too.
Yep. The good news is that on Tuesday, customer service agent confirmed that the restaurants, they closed the restaurants. They closed the restaurants because of the buns.
Yeah.
People could have voted French fries or something, but no. Buns no good, close the restaurants. You gotta be impressed with that.
I am very impressed. I've always been impressed with In-N-Out Burger.
Here's something that goes back to our story that we talked about a few moments ago about what's going on with the lack of inflation. It seems that U.S. millennials are quick to whip out their wallets for pricey avocado toast and craft beer. We know that. But when it comes to rewarding the waiters and bartenders who serve them, those wallets often stay closed.
Oh, they're cheap.
Yeah. 10% of millennials don't tip at all when dining out, compared with only 3% among the older generations, according to a study released by creditcards.com. Now, by the way, you don't know if they're giving cash, right? I mean, they did a study with creditcards.com. What about if the people are giving tips in cash? Because it wouldn't show up on the credit card.
No, it wouldn't.
So we're not quite sure how robust.
So that could be dubious. Yeah. But I don't know that the millennials are big tippers.
And millennials who do tip at restaurants tend to leave a median gratuity of 15%, less than the overall average. Gen Xers, baby boomers, and the oldest Americans, the so-called silent generation, are more generous, leaving between 18 and 20%.
Yeah.
So here's a chart for you here. Here's the tipping averages of various generations. Huh. I guess I don't know where I am. I guess I'm Gen X.
Makes sense. Gen Xers would be.
That's me. You know, I'm a Gen X.
Yeah, you would be a big tipper. Baby boomers do 18%. I do 18. I generally calculate to 20% and then, you know, like pull out a buck extra. And then, so it's usually 18%.
I will give anywhere from, I would say, 15 to 20%, depending on a few things. However, I will also whack them if the service is awful.
Yeah, I give up on that idea.
Why?
I don't know.
If I get terrible service, they're getting a terrible tip.
Well, I don't think I've had terrible service for a long time, so I'm not sure what I'd do.
All right. A couple of things before we get to the stocks and all. The U.S. Embassy in Havana, Cuba. Remember this? The whole thing where that workers suffered headaches and cognitive distress. Remember this whole thing?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Some kind of sonic boom or something that was going on. Do you have any insight into this?
No, none.
Some kind of weird sonic something or other that was going
on.
Some sort
of a weapon. I think it's like some sort of an intelligence agency. Weird weapon.
Right. There's something else going on. Where was it now? Was it South Korea? That something happened in South Korea?
It was somewhere. I remember that it did happen in the Asian area. Yeah.
Yeah. So something's Same going on thing. There. Yeah. So maybe this silent, you know, weapon is being used and being tested on small locations.
It's the conspiracy thinking, yeah.
It's probably coming through the internet, off the line. Warning from Russia. Really? Big warning from Russia. Hold on. Russian women should stop and avoid sex with non-white foreign men during the football's World Cup because they could become single mothers to mixed-race children, a senior lawmaker in Moscow said on Wednesday. How do you like that?
Yeah, it would be a possibility.
So I guess they don't have as much of...
I don't think whatever those lawmakers say is going to affect the way Russian women act, right. Period.
And maybe they'll just do it out of spite.
It could be.
You know?
Yeah, maybe.
Let's see now here. Nearly 20 groups of Amazon shareholders are pressuring the tech company to stop selling facial recognition technology to law enforcement. So they sent a letter to Jeff Bezos, the CEO and founder of Amazon. And they're concerned about the privacy threat of government surveillance from the tool. Now, Amazon has a technology called Recognition with a K. You know, you get a be cute.
I didn't even know this was going on with Amazon.
I didn't know this either. But they have this product called, or program, or this system called Recognition with R-E-K, Ignition, yeah, that was introduced back in 2016. It detects objects and faces in images and videos. So customers, which include law enforcement in Orlando, Florida, and Washington County, Oregon, can upload face databases and automatically identify individuals.
Well, it seems onerous. Wear ski masks, people.
Yeah. The whole thought of, I just bought an iPhone 10 today.
Yeah.
And the whole thought of the two things, the using serial, you know, hey Siri, that's not happening. That's being turned off. And the and the facial recognition, I think I'm going to turn that off too. Just use the code.
Yeah.
I'm not interested. I want to be invisible unless I don't want to be invisible.
Yeah, that's, I would advise the same thing.
Yeah. All right. So if we haven't mentioned donations, if you haven't done it and you forgot a moment ago and now you're like, oh, thank God he mentioned it, go over and give a donation right now. I'm going to go monitor this live. I'm going to monitor right now and see if anybody picked up on this. Let's see here. Oh, we did. Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Do we sell a t-shirt though?
We got a few here. No t-shirts yet. Got a few here. Make sure you go right now and give a donation this second. We're not going to say anything until we get another donation in. All right. But please do that. That's very helpful. Really. Very important. Seriously, really important. Very helpful. A lot of different reasons.
New servers we got to pay for. Yep.
What is John C. Dvorak writing for PC Magazine?
The laptop is dead.
Oh, you're back to that again, huh?
Well, this time it's a little different. I've concluded that the modern laptop, once it got the touch screen in, there's no reason to, you want to buy one that's going to last 5 to 10 years. There's no reason to upgrade ever. And so they should start making these things built to last, not to like the $600 you can get at Costco that you pick up and they break, you know, right there. You need some, you know, a good solid product like the way the Apple does the MacBook with the drilled out aluminum castings. And something that will last a long time. I don't, you know, just turning over this gear like they do with phones. I mean, that's where you can make all your money. Do it with phones because people want to buy a new phone all the time. You shouldn't have to want to buy a new laptop probably ever again.
Is there any way for them to possibly go on a subscription program for, you know, maybe lower the price, but have some kind of subscription program that activates your OS or your computer itself through some kind of a server that you have to pay, maybe, let's say, $25 a month for, or $10 a month for, whatever it is.
It wouldn't be a bad idea if you could be assured that the internet doesn't have to be running 24/7 constantly, because it does go down once in a while, because you don't want the internet going down, then your laptop goes down. It's like having a Chromebook.
Yeah. Somehow making a subscription product like everybody else is doing, and maybe include some kind of upgrades too. Upgrade a drive, upgrade a memory, upgrade some kind of a
swap outs.
Yeah. This way, this just, you know, keep their significance. Interesting. Over on PC Magazine, you can read John's articles on a regular basis. All right, let's get to the stocks. It's a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind, any sort, in any way at all. Of course, buying stocks can be very costly if you don't do it right. You can lose money, of course. If you decide for whatever reason to use any of the suggestions that we talk about today, and it is a game that we are doing here only, please see professional financial advisor of some sort. Do your own research. We are not responsible for your losses. And of course, John C. Dvorak, myself, Horowitz Company clients may own any of the stocks at any of the time throughout the entire game here. And we'll duly mention those, at least on mention. So we may own them and sell them, but in between. But we'll mention that. Let's see here. All right, why don't you take the list? Let's see. Let's look at his list for one second.
Well, we got Facebook still up there. Now it's up 30%.
Ridiculous.
Will it ever stop?
No, I don't guess not.
We got the wow, my Alliance MMA, which was a really bad pick. Would I have it? It's the stop is at a specific amount of money, which is 30 cents.
You would have had a four bagger if we took it out of two.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. But now it's going down. It's going to be, it's heading down, but it could reverse. Van Eck Vectors ETF, which is this, the single up Russian thing is up 2%. Biotechni Corp, just the Lark 7 up 7%. Biogen up 6% based on insiders. Eagle Point something, I forgot the communications, they're down. But it's only down 1%, so it's not just Generic Holdings Inc., which is your hurricane bid, hurricane prediction.
Yep.
It's up 5%. Macy's is up. That's another one of yours.
A short.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you shorted it because it was over. It was getting too much publicity. Morningstar, which I like the chart, which was just, and it's up about right. I believe this just is one of those. I think you can just keep going up a point or two of forever until it doesn't. that's the way I see it. And this is your Brazilian pick,
I think,
right?
You know, I got to look at the Brazil. Maybe actually stopped. Let me see if I stopped this out. No, it's the last is still in there. So it's not stopped.
Well, I got stopped out on the next one, which is my Cobalt Vales SA.
It's called Vale.
So that's done. That was short.
Yep.
I mean, it was the last show and that's done.
Right.
But I made up for it with Next Innovation Corporate Common Stock.
With a large
insider's
exit.
Pick out of
large
the blue. Just insider's pick, nailed it. 9% in one show.
Yep, that's unbelievable.
All right.
I'm going to add Editas. I think I had this in once before. We made about 6 or 7% on it.
You like the stock.
Yeah, this is the CRISPR technology that has been getting some really good, momentum. And last week, there was an article that came out, I think on a Thursday. They talked about this CRISPR technologies. It could cause cancer through this technology of gene splicing, gene editing. And then on Saturday, there's an article out that said, no. You didn't read that correctly. I mean, these things created pretty good on the cancer call. No, that wasn't exactly what that article was saying. And they're, re-going and saying this is going to be good. You know, Goldman Sachs is behind CRISPR with an $80 target on a $62 stock. So, it bucked the trend today with the markets down. It was up. It was down a little bit today. There is it looks to me like an incredible amount of, there's something going on. There's a lot of support here. And I've been talking about this for a while. Even though these things drop, they kind of come right back up. CRISPR had a bad quarter and there was something else that went on. It was down like 18% and then it just came right back up. So there's something going on here. And if these things
might be onto something here,
anything hits, if these things hit, already they got some fast tracking over in Europe. If any of these things, or not fast tracking, they got approval for their trials. It could be good. Now, I personally own that there, and we go in and out of this for clients. So, just as a disclosure, that's all I got.
I got two shorts.
Ooh, going Netflix?
No. Not after looking at that chart.
Yeah.
Tesla.
I tried.
I'm going to buck Musk. Mm-hmm. Last time Musk did a buy in, I was long, but this one I don't like. And Apple.
You're going short Apple?
Yeah, this is a little riskier one, but the way I'm seeing it is this action in China. Apple,
good point.
20% of their money comes from China. They have all their stuff made in China. Apparently, Tim Cook's really good at being friendly with everybody, including Trump and the guy in China. But I can see where the Chinese would say, well, what can we do to really irk the American investors and everybody in between and get them to make Trump's life miserable, which is everybody's goal? It's like, screw with Apple.
It's interesting because there was a comment was it yesterday? It was somebody was saying, Tim Cook was there and Apple's probably going to be excluded from any of the, tariffs. However, somebody came out today and says, I know nothing about excluding any of the tariffs with regard to technology in Apple. So that was Navarro. He came out today and said that.
That's right. I heard Navarro say that.
So I don't know where the truth is in all this. And besides the fact that it seems that for whatever reason, that they can't get their story straight, that entire group, they just can't.
Yeah, well, that's nothing new. But I saw some other opportunities. There was some other company, I can't remember which one I was thinking about, that seemed vulnerable to the same Chinese problem, but they were doing massive share buybacks that were going to probably stabilize things. Oh, Starbucks. I was thinking shorting Starbucks. In fact, I'm going to short Starbucks anyway.
Starbucks came out tonight with a mid-quarter earnings or same-store sales numbers. And they were at 1% same-store sales, which is below the 3% they predicted. And they did increase their dividend and talk about some other shenanigans. But
and they're
really
talking about buying back and doing all these things to prop up the stock. But when I have this kind of this thesis that when they start closing stores, which I believe
that
will
was
be
something
the same
else
thing
did.
With
yep,
Apple.
They talked about that today. They closed.
So when they start closing stores and when Apple starts closing stores, I'm going to feel the same way. This is the time to dump. And so I'm going to put that on the list. So you got three.
Wow. All right.
All shorts.
All shorts. All right. We got them in. We're good to go.
Great.
All right. Well, I will see you next week. Don't forget to listen to No Agenda each and every Thursday and Sunday at 12 live, or you can pick it up over on any of your podcast, you know, marketplaces. And you can follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter at The Real Dvorak and myself, Andrew Horowitz, with one word, Andrew Horowitz.
And don't forget about the Horowitz show.
Oh, yeah.
The
Discipline Investor. Oh, we had a really great series. I put out 6 shows in the last 2 weeks.
Nice.
Yeah, we had a series of all the different conversations I had from the Benzinga FinTech Awards, all these major leaders in the area of FinTech, financial technology. And we had that. Very, very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. Make sure to listen to that.
All right. Great.
I'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.